Hello, and again, this is Mike Moody, and we're going to be in John chapter 7 this week. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you, and we ask that you would guide this weekend in the message before us, and we ask that those that are listening might have some encouragement from the message. We pray for each soul that's out there. We know that there's surely a mixed multitude. There'd be ones that would be rejoicing in Christ, and we would know that certainly there would be lost souls listening as well that need to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we pray for each heart and each particular need that your will would be done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, in John chapter 7, the Gospel according to John chapter 7. If you recall the last time that I was with you in the book of John, we were in chapter 6, a lengthy book, and it spoke of the bread of life, and we spoke of how the Lord, in the feeding of the 5,000, was looking toward the exhortation he would be giving to those ones around him that did not believe who he was, and he would tell them that he was the bread of life. Speaking about, as in chapter 6 and 35, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's speaking of the feeling of that spiritual need that we all have, that spiritual thirst and that spiritual hunger that can only be filled in knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we decided to press on into chapter 7, another rather lengthy chapter. We'd like to give somewhat of an overview of chapter 7. The beginning of the chapter, let's just read a few verses. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea or Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go unto Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. For if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. We'll stop there at the end of verse 5. Here it's speaking of his brethren in the sense of his half-brothers and sisters, you might say, because as we recall, Christ, God, manifest in the flesh, had no earthly father. He is the Creator himself. So we see that he came in the manger. He did not become the Son of God at that time. What he did, he came from glory and came into the flesh. So those that he had as brothers and sisters would only be through Mary, his mother. That is why we see that she bore him as a virgin, because the only way that God could come into this world in the flesh was to be without a human father. Because a human father is why you and I inherit sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but yet we are all born sinners because we are born after the first man, Adam. So, Mark chapter 6 would tell us a little bit about those half-brothers and sisters, you might would call them. Mark 6 and 2, it says, And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. So here we see that at this time, these ones that were called his kin, his brethren, his half-brothers and half-sisters, they were offended at him. They stumbled at him. Would it not be difficult to be raised in a home when you had a brother who was never disciplined? For you see, the Lord Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, was sinless. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. He was made sin for us upon the cross of Calvary. But in his life and in his person, he could not and did not sin. He took our place as our substitute on the cross of Calvary for our sin. But he himself was no sinner. So we see here that his own brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters, were offended at him. So when we go back to John chapter 7, what do we see? We see there that they were trying to, perhaps chiding him. They were saying, won't you go out into the open, go to the feast there in Judea, and show thyself, show your works. Verse 5 said, neither did his brethren believe in him. Perhaps they wanted to be associated with this fame that he had. You see, because ones were following him sometimes for the miracles. Sometimes, as in John 6, just because they were hungry and he could feed them whenever he changed the fish and the loaves into a great multitude of food. So we see that they were wanting to be associated with him in a worldly sense, but not in a spiritual sense. My friend, is it possible that you're listening today and you kind of like being associated with Christians to an extent? You see, it's okay to be called a church member and have a place that you can kind of hang your hat and be called religious, but you see, you just don't really want to have a relationship with him. You just want to be a quote-unquote church member. You see, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So just to have a minor association with this one, Jesus Christ, and not a personal relationship with him, will do you no good. These ones here were offended at him. They didn't believe in him. They had grown up with him. But yet, they only sought a little bit of fame from hanging on to his coattails, perhaps, or just being around him, just being associated with him to a degree. You know, there's people out there listening today that perhaps you're in some club or some association, and, well, it's just somewhat popular here in the Bible Belt to be a member of a local church or quote-unquote a Christian. It's good for your business, you might say. Well, my dear friend, when you enter into the gates, or that is, into the realm of eternity, the Lord has stated in the Word of God, there will be ones he will say to that will have said, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. My friend, you can be religious and have a small association, you might say, with the Lord, just for convenience, just for religious sakes, just as a Sunday morning only Christian. But when you go before the Lord, he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Is it possible that I'm speaking to one or more today that have just that outward association with Christ, and yet it's not in your heart? You must be born again, a spiritual rebirth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So we see here, as we go on in John chapter 7, we see here many different types of people. We see, it says officers, it says chief priests, it says Pharisees, it mentions people in general, it says the others. It just gives, time and time again, mention of all the different types and classes and groups of people. Isn't that like the world today? All the different kinds of people that are out there. Different classes of people. But as you go down to verse 43, we see that that speaks of where you and I are today as well. It says here, among all these different kinds of people, it says, so there was a division among the people because of him. Disagreement. A division. Some of the people was for him. Some of the people was against him. Some of the people were neutral. That is where we are today. And this very thing, the person of Christ causing a division among the people, is an eternal division. It happened when he walked the streets of Jerusalem. It happened in his entire public ministry for those 3+ years. It has happened in the early church whenever he was returned to glory, and then the church age began, and those ones such as Stephen was martyred, and Paul and others. And then we see on through the ages or the centuries since, we see the Middle Ages when ones had come out of the religious systems of Catholicism and turned back to the Word of God, to where it said that you're justified by faith. Those people were martyred for the faith in Christ alone. There has always been, since Christ walked this earth, a division because of him. And my friend, it exists today, and it will exist for eternity. For there's two places, two eternal realms that you might keep in mind. That is called heaven and hell. An eternal division because of Christ. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He desires for you. As the scripture says, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. He desires that you would be with him in heaven. But the all-knowing God knows that many will not repent. Repentance is a change of mind. So there is an eternal division because of this man, Jesus Christ, the God-man. You're either for him or against him. There's no middle ground. Well, as we're thinking about this one that has caused a division, and when we say caused a division, rightfully so, for he's calling ones to him, but many will not receive him. So we see here a tremendous chapter in John 7. We could note the fact that it speaks of how he was the one sent from the Father many times in this chapter. It speaks also of this man Nicodemus, one of the different types of people you see here in chapter 7. Right after the mention of the division among the people because of Christ, look with me in chapter 7 of John in verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? You see, what they were trying to do, it goes on to point out in the middle of this chapter, was they were conspiring against him, as they continually do, the religious leaders of that day. And we pick up verse 46. The officers answered, never a man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Then we notice here a man named Nicodemus. Remember, the one that was told you must be born again in John 3. Here we have him again in John 7:50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So we see there that when Nicodemus speaks up, we see a reaction of ignorance by those who would not receive Christ. But yet Nicodemus was one of the rulers, as in John 3 made clear. He came to Jesus by night and was told he must be born again, or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And yet, here by the time we get to the end of John 7, we see Nicodemus had been converted, for it said he was one of them. John 19 there, whenever we see around the time of the cross and resurrection, we see there was Nicodemus again, speaking of how he was one of them. So we see of this great, different, diverse crowd of people in John 7 that there was a man named Nicodemus who had been born again. Well, let's close for the day and say join us next week with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry For Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Have a good week.